hard work usually pays off. When it comes to marriage, it's the same. Each day I wake up to the most amazing woman I know. We've been together for almost our entire lives. Each day, we are tested. Whether it's the world, work, or just a simple marriage dispute, we will be tested. But nothing could prepare for what was about to change our lives forever. The moment when we thought the time had finally came and we would leave this life. At breakfast time, I was sitting down in my chair outside, like I do every morning, and I decided to look up. The sky was splitting in two, and fire appeared high, wide over the forest near our house. The split in the sky grew larger, and the entire northern side was covered with fire. At that moment, it became so hot that I couldn't bear it, as if my shirt was on fire. From the northern side, where the fire was, came strong heat. I wanted to tear off my shirt and throw it down, but then the sky shut closed, and a strong thump sounded, and I was thrown a few feet away. I lost my senses for a moment, but then my wife ran out and led me to our house. After that, such noise came, as if rocks were falling or cannons were firing. The earth shook, and when I was on the ground, I pressed my head down, fearing rocks would smash it. This is the story of the Tunguska event. Welcome to Origin Mysteries. When the sky opened up, hot wind raced between the houses, like from cannons, which left traces in the ground like pathways, and it damaged some crops. Later we saw that many windows were shattered, and in the barn, part of the iron lock snapped. Thankfully, we suffered little damage, and are now stronger than ever. These are some of the words that Mr. Semenov used to explain what scientists are now calling the Tunguska event. On June 30th, 1908, at around 7:17 a.m., Evenki natives and Russian settlers witnessed something falling from the sky in Siberia. The light was as bright as the sun and was almost blinding. A giant ball of raging red and orange fire that looked like it was falling straight for them. The heat and the force from the object was so great that those that were close to it thought they were on fire, and some were even pushed to the ground. A native man named Chuchan was on a hunt with his brother when they both witnessed the event. This is how they explained what happened. We had a hut by the river where my brother Chikarin. We were sleeping. Suddenly we both woke up at the same time. Somebody shoved us. We heard whistling and felt strong wind. Chikarin said, "Can you hear all those birds flying overhead?" We were both in the hut. Couldn't see what was going on outside. Suddenly I got shoved again. This time so hard I fell into the fire. I got scared. Chikarin got scared too. We started crying out for father, mother, and brother, but no one answered. There was a noise beyond the hut. We could hear trees falling down. Chikarin and I got out of our sleeping bags and wanted to run out, but then the thunder struck. This was the first thunder. The earth began to move and rock. The wind hit our hut and knocked it over. My body was pushed down by sticks, but my head was in the clear. Then I saw a wonder. Trees were falling, and the branches were on fire. It became mighty bright. How I can say this, as if there was a second sun. My eyes were hurting. I even had to close them. It was like what the Russians call lightning, and immediately there was a loud thunderclap. This was the second thunder. The morning was sunny. There were no clouds. Our sun was shining brightly as usual, and suddenly, there came a second one. Chikarin and I had some difficulty getting out from underneath the remains of our hut. Then we saw that above, but in a different place, there was another flash, and a loud thunder came. This was the third thunderstrike. Wind came again, knocked us off our feet, and struck the fallen trees. We looked at the fallen trees, watched the treetops get snapped off, and watched the fires. Suddenly, Chikarin yelled, "Look up," and pointed with his hand. I looked there and saw another flash, and it made another thunder. But the noise was less than before. This was the fourth strike, like normal thunder. Now I remember well, there was also one more thunder strike, but it was small, and somewhere far away, where the sun goes to sleep. Chikarin and his brother are believed to be the ones that are the closest to the actual event, but it isn't possible to know for sure. Two other witness accounts came from two people that were inside different local villages. The first witness was at the Karlinki village. The following is how they described the event. On the morning of the 17th of June, around 9 a.m., we observed an unusual natural occurrence. In the north village, the peasants saw to the northwest, rather high above the horizon, some strangely bright, impossible to look at, bluish-white heavenly body, which for 10 minutes moved downward. The body appeared as a pipe. The sky was cloudless. Only a small dark cloud was observed in the general direction of the bright body. It was hot and dry. As the body neared the forest, the first body seemed to smudge and then turned into a giant billow of black smoke, and a loud knocking, not thunder, was heard, as if strong stones were falling or if artillery was fired. All buildings shook, and at the same time the clouds began emitting flames of uncertain shapes. All villagers were stricken with panic and took to the streets. Women cried, thinking it was the end of the world. These loud knocks repeated in intervals of 15 minutes, at least 10 times. The last witness was at the Kimsenko village. Here is what they saw. At 7:43, the noise to a strong wind was heard. Immediately afterward, a horrific thump sounded, followed by an earthquake that literally shook the buildings if they were hit by a large log or a heavy rock. The first thump was followed by a second, and then a third. Then the interval between the first and the third thumps was accompanied by an unusual underground rattle, similar to a railway, upon which dozens of trains are traveling at the same time. Afterward, for 5 to 6 minutes, an exact likeness of artillery fire was heard, 50 to 60 in short, equal intervals, which got progressively weaker. 2 minutes after one of the barrages, 6 more thumps were heard, like cannon firing, but individual, loud, and accompanied by tremors. The sky at the first sight appeared to be clear. There was no wind and no clouds. Upon closer inspection to the north, where most of the thumps were heard, a kind of ashen cloud was seen near the horizon, which kept getting smaller and more transparent, and possibly by around 2 to 3 p.m., completely disappeared. Questions quickly started trickling in. What was it? Were we under attack? How did we survive? It wouldn't take very long for the locals to have a few of those questions answered. But to this very day, there's still many that aren't. They weren't under attack by any type of military, and everyone survived because the object that fell missed the surrounding villages. The impact site, however, is still up for debate. It took scientists 20 years to actually reach the believed impact site, due to the lack of interest, and the Tunguska region of Siberia is a very remote place with a dramatic climate. It has a long, hostile winter, in a very short summer when the ground changes into a muddy, uninhabitable swamp. This makes the area extremely hard to get to. But a man named Leonid Kulik decided to lead the first expedition to finally figure out what caused such an event. Once they started to finally get close, it was obvious that something big had happened. When Kulik, the leader of the first expedition, first arrived at the villages that were closest to the event, it was difficult for his team to get any information about it. You see, the villagers each thought that the blast was a visitation from one of their gods, and they believed that the entire area of the impact was cursed. 800 square miles of remote forest were smashed, and either completely destroyed or badly damaged. Many of their livestock were killed as well, in only a matter of minutes, so you can kind of understand their thinking. While they were exploring, they reached a certain point they believed to be the actual impact site. There were thousands of trees, which were standing but bent, like something giant came in and hit them, just enough to not take them out of the earth. Each tree was free of their branches, and completely stripped of all bark. It was then when they all started to get a very eerie feeling. The only other time they had seen something like this was when the last nuclear bombs were dropped on Hiroshima. The impact site was almost identical to this one. After going over all the evidence, Kulik and his crew, as well as many other scientists, now believe that on the morning of June 30th, a massive asteroid entered Earth's atmosphere at around 33,500 miles per hour. According to NASA, during this time, the estimated 220 million pound space rock heated the air surrounding it to 44,500 degrees Fahrenheit. At 7:17 a.m., at a height of about 20,000 feet, the combination of pressure and heat caused the asteroid to fragment and annihilate itself, producing a fireball and releasing energy equivalent to about 185 Hiroshima bombs. That is why an impact crater has never been found, because a great majority of the asteroid was consumed in the explosion. This event affected many others as well. The resulting seismic shockwave registered with sensitive barometers as far away as England. Heavy clouds formed over the region at high altitudes, which reflected sunlight from beyond the horizon. Night skies glowed, and reports came in that people who lived as far away as Asia could read newspapers outdoors as late as midnight. There are many theories to what actually hit the Earth and to the location of the actual impact. Many believe that the actual impact site now stands where a large lake is today. Lake Chico is about 5 miles from the area where all the trees were askew and branchless, or as the scientists call, the epicenter. According to Luca Gasparini, a scientist from Italy, the lake wasn't on any map prior to the event. He traveled to the lake to study its origin. He, as well as many other scientists, believe that it's actually the impact site of part of a large object that fell, and they now think it sits at the bottom of the lake. Even though the lake is only 33 feet deep, no one has ever tried to see what was at the bottom. Though this theory is interesting, most believe the impact site is where even now most of the trees lay askew. The difficult part for a lot of people is the lack of evidence. Yes, there were over 80 million trees flattened, but by nothing they could find in the surrounding area. Expedition after expedition, there's still no sign of any giant rock that smashed into the earth. That's when the next theory came in. What if it wasn't a meteor? What if it was a comet instead? Comets are mostly made up of dust and ice, so if that was the case, then it makes sense why there isn't any evidence. However, a third theory was made in 2013. Scientists were able to find a large number of small rocks in the epicenter that, when tested, came back positive for what usually makes up a meteor. Now they believe that this whole time was wasted looking for large rocks instead of smaller ones, and that once you put them together, they would equal to what actually hit the area. They also believe that due to the sometimes muddy terrain, it is impossible to find every piece of evidence of the rock, and is probably why no one has found a large amount of it anywhere. The final theory is that it wasn't some large comet or meteor, but that our planet was actually visited by some unknown spaceship that crashed into Lake Chico. Even to this day, the ship sleeps at the bottom of the lake, only to one day resurface the water and return home. The question still stands: what happened that morning? And where did the giant fireball finally lay to rest? Was it a stray comet or meteor? Or was it something far more mysterious? This is Origin Mysteries. Experience the mysterious. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm really interested in what you think about this episode, so please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does make a difference. Also, reach out to me via Instagram at Origin Mysteries. Lastly, thanks again for subscribing and listening. We'll see you next time.